Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to yet another edition of On The Record.
Thank you very much indeed.
It's becoming more and more popular as we go.
It certainly is.
It's very, very nearly Easter, of course, so we'll all be gearing up for the Easter holidays.
Yeah.
I'm going away soon to the United States of America.
Well, I hope you have a great time.
I will have a great
time.
See
your mother, who's 94,
well,
yeah?
She's going to be 94, actually, just before Easter weekend.
Yes.
And I'm going to be going over there, sort of a double celebration, really.
Yes,
But you know what was interesting? When I filled out, you know, you have to fill out a form to get your visa waiver thing for the American market. Normally it lasts 2 years.
I thought once you did that once and it's on the computer system, you're all right.
No, you do it for you do it once every 2 years. It lasts for 2 years and you have to do a new one. And mine actually ran out just before I was due to come back.
Right.
Or actually, no, it actually runs until the end of after I came back, but it was close enough, so I had to reapply. Do you know what they asked for?
No.
In addition to all the usual stuff about passport number, you know, date of birth, place of birth and all that, social media profile.
Really?
Yeah.
And supposing you haven't got one?
Well, it was an optional extra, so you didn't have it. Wasn't marked with a red asterisk, so you didn't have to put it in.
Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't put it in because I don't particularly want to submit my, say, Twitter account to the scrutiny of the US government.
No, I totally agree, because then they suddenly find out that, oh, well, this man drinks beer and all that kind
of
stuff.
Well, or they might decide
that
I said something they didn't like about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Or they might say, well, I don't like what you said about the American foreign policy, or I don't like what you said about the North Koreans or whatever, you know?
Totally agree. Well, you keep an eye on that one,
I better keep an eye on that.
You don't want to give your secrets away. No, you just said it's coming up to Easter.
Yeah.
Easter has a religious aspect to it.
It certainly does.
Now, I've come across something which has really appealed to me, and I'm not a great fan of Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
Benedict Cumberbatch is a bit of a sort of virtue signalling actor, is he not?
This is the guy who performed in some play in the West End and then at the end, you know, came back on for the encore. But instead of the encore, he said, look, he said, things going wrong in this country, terribly, terribly wrong.
Right.
He said, and I've decided tonight we're going to do something about it.
Oh, yeah.
He says, how much money do you think we're giving to the disaster in wherever it was?
Yeah.
You know, there was a disaster going on
I
in
remember,
Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody who said,
was it Syria or Libya?
Serious. I mean, look, I'm not belittling disasters.
No. They're
horrible things to happen. But he said, well, I don't believe the government are giving enough. So do you know what I say? I say, fuck the politicians, okay? He's actually standing on the stage
and
saying this.
I remember the story. Yeah,
so then they're
why does he think anybody's interested in what he thinks?
I don't. So then he starts nodding his, you know, all the audience nodding their head.
Oh,
he said, yes, and if you agree with me, and then all these blokes at the back with these buckets start shaking them.
Oh,
you know, there's a few bob in the bot, a few coins to get them going.
Yeah.
Everybody was unexpected to empty their pockets into these bins on the way out of the theatre.
That's shocking, isn't it?
Well, I mean, look, I give money to charities when I want to give money, when I choose to. I'm not going to be, you know, have my arm bent up my back.
But this is the world we live in now, isn't
it?
If you don't go along with what everybody else thinks you should be doing, you're branded some kind of a lunatic, revolutionary, you know, counter-terrorist.
How come you don't agree with me? I mean, it's like some well-known columnist we know, you know, who lives a millionaire lifestyle and, you know, is a part of the metropolitan elite of North London, who told everybody before the last election, well, basically, anybody who doesn't vote Labour tomorrow is a see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
a word I don't like to use. But anyway, the reason I was talking about old Benedict, right?
Yes.
Is that he's actually done something now which I quite agree with.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking of following in his path.
All right. So hang on. So he's gone from you reviling him as some kind of virtue
I didn't revile him. I just thought, you know, don't interfere in people's lives to that extent.
Yes.
Because you're using your popularity to try and, you know, bash people over the head with a moral judgment and a moral issue and all that, which I don't like. But I mean, they're all like, like that. And the problem is, if one of them stepped out of line and said, I don't care about disasters or something like that, they'd be cast out of the world of Lovey-Dom.
I mean, it's not a particularly, I would say, stellar group of people in terms of big celebrity names.
Yeah.
But if you look at those, you know, those people who are sort of celebrities for Brexit, people like John Cleese and Roger Daltrey, they're ridiculed by everybody because they believe Brexit's actually a good idea.
I totally
agree. You know, why can't you believe that Brexit? I don't really care one way or the other, right? Yeah. But we should be able to believe that Brexit's a good idea without being sort of tainted as some kind of moron.
Particularly as a majority of people in this country voted, and I didn't vote, for Brexit.
Exactly.
So why are they berated? I mean, that Vince Cable.
Sir Vince Cable.
And you were the first to say, I never quite got Vince Cable when he was just a politician with the Liberal Party. Right. You know, I've never got him at all. Mm. But the other day, he trolls off to Europe, right? Meets for lunch a group of sort of European opposition ministers because nobody in power wants to meet Vince because he's a no-no non-entity and he's not even in government or anything like that here, you know.
No, well, he will never be in government again. In fact, he was briefly during the coalition, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the brief of the coalition, but then he lost his seat. He only just got his seat back in the you know the snap election that never was a snap, you know.
Right.
And he goes off to Europe, doesn't he? Maybe he had too much of the old firewater because he then issues a statement afterwards saying, "I have received all round support from representatives from seven European countries who demand there must be a new Brexit referendum in Britain."
I know.
Well, A, what's it got to do with them?
Right.
And B, why is he asking them? But anyway, about half an hour later. Yeah. They all issue a statement saying
that we didn't
say that. We never said that. We don't know the fuck Vince is talking about, basically.
Well, he's now moved away from that now, because, funnily enough, I had him on the radio not long ago, and he says, now he's trying to say, well, now what we need is the softest Brexit ever,
as opposed
to having another referendum.
Yeah.
And he was defending the fishing policy of Europe, while at the same time saying that, you know, of course we need to be in the European Union because we can have a better fishing policy.
I said,
but we haven't got a very good fishing policy.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed, by the way, by those people going up and down the River Thames, chucking dead fish into the...
It's like Captain Pugwash,
it was dreadful, wasn't it, on a boat? And,
but the only good thing was Bob Geldof wasn't there sticking two fingers up to him like last time, do you remember? Well, you fuck off, you fucking wankers. And you're going, well, hang on, you're not even in Britain, right? You're fucking Irish for a start. Yeah. And second of all, what's it going to do with you? You live in a lavish big mansion somewhere in West London.
Yeah, but the Irish are particularly moved about this because the first time I ever went to Ireland, right, was the Mountbatten murder.
Yes.
So that was about 89 or something like that. Yeah. And it took like 6 hours or something like that to get in a car from...
Well, at least you had a car.
Yeah, at least
the
I had
only
a car.
Reason you had a car was because you nicked it from somebody from The Guardian.
Yeah, I did. A lady called Brenda Parry.
Right.
And when I landed, I said... And they said, what's your name? And I said, Mike Parry. They said... What's that? Brenda Parry.
Brenda Parry,
I said, yeah, that's me. Because, you know, in, like, Ireland, some men are called, like, Brendan.
Yes.
You know, I said...
Yeah. Well, Brendan Rodgers, for
example. Brendan Rodgers, that's right, yeah. And I said, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Right, you know, so give me the keys to the car. So I trolled off over Ireland to Sligo, which
it's
was
very
the
hard to get
town.
Across the country, though.
Oh, blimey, it's unbelievable. And then, of course, a day and a half later, this woman with a face of thunder, you know, right, did you steal my car, you bastard, you know? And I said, nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I said, I told her my name, my Parry, they gave me the car, but the keys were there, and she picked them up. She said, "This says Brenda Parry." Right. I said, "They thought my name was Brendan. It was not my fault." Right. Anyway, point of the story is, it took about 6 hours.
Yes.
Over the years, I went back to Ireland, and about 10 years later, after I'd been a member of the European Community. It took 2 hours because they built a fantastic motorway.
Yeah.
And they've also built fantastic motorways north-south from Belfast down to Dublin.
Right.
They've also built motorways up the west coast side to Enniskillen and all that.
Right.
All built by...
Because, I mean, I haven't been in that part of Ireland for many a year.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely horrendous.
Oh, it's horrendous.
In fact, do you remember Robert Shaw, the guy from The Sting?
Yes.
He died because his car crashed on one of those roads in Ireland.
Really?
And it was so deserted that nobody came to rescue him.
Really?
And he died sort of, you know, he didn't die
instantly. Died after 24 hours.
Well, I think it was a few hours.
From exposure or something
like that. Well, no, I mean, he died from his injuries. But, I mean, had there been anybody else around, he would have been rescued.
Do you know that he was once a nominee to be James Bond, Robert Shaw? Yes. And
great actor.
Yeah, a great actor. And it went to Sean Connery.
Yeah.
But you know the film From Russia With Love?
Yes.
With the... Klebb, what's her name?
Klebb, Elsa Klebb.
Elsa Klebb, with the knives in the end of her feet. I will kill you. I'll get my poison knives, right?
Well, I should say that while Porky's doing that, he's trying to kick me with his shoe.
I was trying to kick. Yeah, I haven't got any poison. If I had poison, it'd be in your thigh by now. But the point I was going to make was the deal was that it was so close, he lost it, but then he was given the role as the villain in From Russia with Love.
Oh, was he?
You don't remember? He was the
I
guy.
I suppose he was.
You know, you know when Rosa Klebb went up and punched him in the stomach and he didn't even flinch?
Right.
She says, seems strong enough.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, getting back to Dominic, okay?
Yes.
So, Dominic, what Dominic's doing now is he has actually employed.
Right.
An aide to go around with him all the time, but the aide is a full-time monk. He's got his
a
own travelling monk.
Why does he need a monk?
Well, to help him, you know, get his head together and all this kind of stuff.
What, you mean sort of spiritually guide him?
Yes.
So he's like a spirit guide?
Yeah, like a spirit guide, yeah. He's apparently...
Yeah.
He's hired this monk because he's found out that in Hollywood, everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Everybody's
you
got
know, you know who I think's got one of them?
What?
Joey Barton.
Joe Barton's got a monk.
Oh, no, he's got a spirit guide of some kind, I believe.
No, this guy's a fully-fledged monk.
Yeah.
He wears
well,
a habit
I don't know
everything.
If Joey's guy's a
well,
monk
perhaps
or not.
You can ask Joe. I'd see him.
Yeah.
He's in tomorrow with Al, isn't he? So I'll put an inquiry in, if you like. Anyway, the point of my story is, this monk, right, it goes around with him, and people who know Mr. Cumberbatch say, look, whenever you see Dominic now, is it Dominic? No, Benedict. Whenever you see Benedict now...
Yeah.
The monk's probably a Dominican. That's probably
it
where I got
it wrong. Could be a Benedictine, no?
Could have been a Benedictine. Could be, yeah, Benedictine. I like that. They make that liqueur, don't they? They make the Benedictine liqueur.
Yes, my mother likes that, actually. In fact, she likes it in you can also buy it as B&B.
Oh, yeah?
Which is Benedictine and brandy
Ooh.
In the same bottle.
Ooh.
You don't drink too much of that.
No,
you
don't drink too
Trust
much
me.
Of that. Anyway, point of my story is... Everybody who knows Benedict has seen recently said, no, his monk's always with him.
Really?
He says...
that must be a bit difficult to organise, mustn't
well,
it?
Well, one unnamed source says Benedict has always been very zen backstage, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now...
Well, is this when he's not swearing at the audience?
Yes, that's right. You know, fuck the government, we're going to do it ourselves, you know. But he says he spends his whole time now talking to the monk. And it said other members of the, you know, the crew, production crew and all that, found this already puzzling.
Well, it must be a bit awkward, wasn't it?
Well...
I mean, at what point do you say to Benedict Cumberbatch, excuse me, Benedict, may I see you
can
on
you
your own?
Get back on set or something,
Or
know?
Can you, like, tell the monk to push off for a while?
Yeah,
because I want to talk to you about something private.
Yeah. Well, apparently, this is an extension of the fact that he got into Buddhism, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, got all zen and all that kind of stuff now.
Well, that's fine. But what about when he goes out for dinner? Does he have to always get a space for the monk?
Well, apparently the monk's with him all the time.
Weird.
And he's also talked about the only time he might be without the monk is he might go off to a Buddhist retreat.
Right.
And he says that the idea would be to clear and purify his mind.
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, was his mind clear and pure when he was asking people to put money in buckets at the theatre
well,
in the West End?
Well, I suppose he would think so. I mean, he would suggest, I'm sure, if he was sitting here with us, that that was a very good thing to do.
Yes.
They raised a load of money to help a load of people.
Yes.
So you said to me
that
you're quite much quite in favour of this. So are you suggesting you're going to get a monk of your own?
Well, I think it'd be great to have access to somebody like that to talk
you
to. You
get
you know
one of the ones that makes Buckfast to come along.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah.
Fast,
that's an Abbey down in Devon, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
We could definitely do that.
But Fast Abbey.
I wouldn't mind that at all. But, I mean, having spiritual guidance, there's nothing wrong with that.
Do you know, I once went to, and I can't remember what the circumstances were, but it was when I was working for the Asian magazine that I still worked for before I ended up going to Fleet Street.
Yes.
We got invited to some sort of retreat, right? And it was run by American sort of monks, but it was all paid.
When was this?
This was way back in the sort of early 80s.
Where were you again?
It was somewhere in Hertfordshire.
Hertfordshire, right?
It was somewhere here.
Yeah.
And I believe it was paid for. It was all paid for by George Harrison. It was one of these kind of George Harrison inspired sort of Hare Krishna type places.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
we went to this beautiful, massive, great mansion in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Where it was like there was no furniture, and there was all these guys in the orange robes. And I remember going.
Oh, that's
in.
The Hare Krishna mob then. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like George Harrison.
Do they ever parade up and down Oxford Street anymore?
I haven't seen
playing
them,
drums
actually.
Ringing. Bells and
no.
orange.
Do you know where
robes?
They are now? Mostly, you see them at airports quite a lot.
Well, that
in
was
America.
that was famous in the airport film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Remember?
But you do
when,
see them. I mean, you see them at
the
airports.
Captain, you know, ha, knocked them all to the floor.
Hey, do you know what I didn't know, by the way? We'll talk more about the Hare Krishnas in a minute. I saw I was going through Netflix the other night looking for a film to watch with the kids.
Yes.
They've remade the Pink Panther, which I didn't know.
What you mean,
with Steve Martin?
The original Peter Sellers one has been remade.
It's been remade with Steve Martin.
I do like Steve Martin. He's
Inspector
a funny man.
Clouseau.
Funny man. Inspector Clouseau. Who's playing Inspector Clouseau?
He is.
Who?
Steve
he's
Martin.
Playing. I see. Yeah, sorry. Okay, yeah. Because, you know, we said this before, we had a colleague in Fleet Street, at least I did, right? who worked for the Press Association when I was a big shot at the Express.
Yeah.
And his father was Alec Lom.
Oh, yes.
Who was the police...
Herbert Lom. He was Alec Lom.
Yeah, he was Alec Lom. That's right.
His dad was Herbert Lom.
Herbert Lom, yeah. Who was the senior police officer driven mad by Inspector Clouseau's bungling idiocy.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to the old monk thing and all that, right? You're absolutely right about George Allison. I went to one of the open tournaments once. I think it was in Lancashire, you know, outside Blackpool.
Oh, the golf.
What's the course up there?
Lytham St Annes.
That's right. On the second day, this guy came into the champagne tent we were in, and I was with Al, Mr. Brazil, and I gave the guy 50 quid because he was a monk who had travelled from a monastery in Scotland.
Was he dressed as a monk?
Yes, he was, actually. Yeah, he was, yeah. And he travelled from a monastery in Scotland to raise money for the teachings of the Hindi faith.
All right.
And I thought this was great. Mm. So what I had to then do for the rest of the tournament was four times a day, I had to go into isolation and chant Karanga, Karanga, Karanga.
Really?
Karanga, Karanga, Karanga. Karanga is the Hindi word for peace.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
where did you do that?
Well, I just felt at ease doing it, you know. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Brazil didn't take this seriously.
No, of course.
And the more champagne he took, the more he took the mickey out of me.
Right.
And he took the piss out of me mercilessly. He told all his friends, hey, oh, Porky, don't call him Porky anymore. Call him Karanga. Hey, Karanga.
That's great.
And I thought that was a bit harsh, really, because I was trying to, you know, I was trying to find peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Well, the place I went to, right, walked in and there was all these guys walking around sort of barefoot wearing these orange robes. And I seem to remember we sat down somewhere in on the floor.
Yeah.
I'd take your shoes off when you went in. And they brought us this food on a tray.
Right.
Which was horrendous.
What kind of food?
It was sort of Indian-type food.
Well, Indian food's usually pretty good.
Well, yeah, but it was vegetarian, though.
Oh, vegetarian. Was it all those sort of breads that they make?
There was breads, there was like lentil stuff.
Lentils, I like
but
lentils.
It wasn't very good, though.
No, I don't like lentils. Lentils tasteless.
And also, I remember it was really cold.
Olives, can't stand olives.
They didn't. I think they weren't allowed to have any heating on or anything like that. But I just I can't remember why we went there. I think it was something to do with... it must have been something to do with trying to raise money for them or something like that. I don't know.
Sure,
but it was quite a weird experience.
Yeah, well, it is a weird experience.
I was never tempted in my youth, were you, to kind of join any of these sects?
Well, not really, but I mean, I love the appeal of the Hare Krishna mob for two reasons. Well, first of all, George Harrison was into it. George Harrison was one of my great musical heroes, of course. You know, the second track on the second side of Sgt. Pepper's is Within You Without
Within You Without You, yeah.
Or Within You Without Me or something like that.
Within You Without You.
And that was played on the sitar and all that. I loved all that Indian music. I like the Indian music they play in Indian restaurants when I go in there. Mind you, there's fewer and fewer Indian restaurants in this country, you know.
Really?
Fewer and fewer.
I see them all the time, everywhere I go.
Chinese restaurants as well. I don't see a lot of them anymore, you know.
Really?
No, not
Are
really.
Are you sure you're not looking in the wrong places?
I'm not in the wrong places. Now, one thing I was going to say is these monks and the Hare Krishna mob and all that kind of stuff, they do believe in leading the sparsest of life.
They do.
Don't they?
They also believe, I think, in reincarnation.
So they believe in reincarnation.
So their life is kind of spent trying to make their life good because they don't want to come back as something bad.
That's right. Well, my mate, the monk from Scotland.
Oh, yeah. He's still in touch with him, are you?
Hey?
He's still in touch with
him? No. But he drove around in a camper van.
Right.
And this was a very intelligent guy. This guy, I think, had been to Oxford or Cambridge University, and he'd started to be a professor.
But what was he doing at the golf tournament?
Well, he came to collect money. His idea was, he was clever.
Yeah.
He went into the champagne tent and all the drink tents because he thought, well, people are intoxicated, even though he never touched a drop himself.
Did he have like a bucket then?
No, he just asked you for money.
Right.
And every,
so he just handed him notes?
Yeah, every day I gave him 50 quid.
Well,
I couldn't believe
con
it.
Man.
Well, Al said he was. Al said he's a con man. What do you keep giving him the money for, Porky? I said, well, he, you know, it makes me feel better. Spiritually, I'm cleansed and all
well,
that.
Well, this is the trouble, you see.
Yeah.
You don't give money to charities because you want to help them.
Mm.
You want to help yourself. You want to help yourself feel better.
Well, I mean, we all do things to make ourselves feel better. Anyway, talking about the domestic situation, right?
Yeah.
So these guys live a very sparse life. So they, for instance, wouldn't need a housekeeper, would they? Because they live in retreats and that kind of stuff.
Although
right?
when I went to that house, all the people that were there, they all had sort of special it seemed
duties.
Like they had special duties.
Yeah,
like there was one
that's like a monastery.
One of them was the cook.
Yeah.
One of them cleaned.
Yeah,
I suppose,
that's right. That's
know.
Right. One of them does the garden and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I've seen all this happen at monasteries and nunneries before.
Right.
But anyway, the point of my story is, I'm talking now about a very close colleague of ours, and that's Julia Hartley Brewer.
Oh yes.
When she'd been on holiday, She's just come back. She's just starting it back this week.
Yeah.
At,
that's right. She's
at
been skiing.
Radio. Yeah, she's been skiing.
Yeah.
So anyway, she puts out this message, you know, saying that it's great to be back
a
and
tweet.
All that. A tweet. That's right. Yeah. She's watching. I think she's watching the Australian Grand Prix the other day, and she suddenly
see
says,
"Your man lost." By the way,
I know, I can't believe it. But it was down to a computer.
You know, that was ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, the idea that they've got all these computerized systems.
Yep.
But then the computer lets them down,
and
somehow they make a miscalculation, because that's what happened, isn't it?
The computer miscalculated the lead that apparently the lead Lewis Hamilton had over Sebastian Vettel.
Right.
By 3 seconds. The computer was registering a 15-second lead, and he only had a 12-second lead.
Yeah.
So when Vettel went into the pit lane, whilst the safety car was out, but it wasn't...
It was a virtual safety car.
Exactly,
so
it was a virtual
exist,
safety car,
right?
So you couldn't even see it, right? And Vettel nips into the pits, right? And he comes out the other end, and if it had been 15 seconds, Hamilton would have been in front of him when he came out the pit.
But doesn't that tell
but
you
he wasn't.
That they've gone too far now with all of the technology?
Well, that's
the
down
technology
to them.
Now is more important in a way than the actual human reactions.
Well, I totally agree. Because funny
in
enough,
the old days, you wouldn't have had any of that. And you'd have had a guy looking for the bloke in the pits.
I agree.
And you wouldn't have had a guy being radioed or anything like that.
Toto Wolff, who is the head of the Mercedes lot, said afterwards, we've got to get our software right and all that kind of stuff. So it's a funny way of doing it.
I think it's a bit pathetic. I think it's ruined the season, actually.
Yeah, well, maybe.
It's I mean, the only good thing is I like watching Lewis Hamilton when he hasn't won, because he's a miserable sod.
Well, do you know what? He was very good at the end of that race. He shook hands with Vettel and he stood up on the podium.
Well, he
and all
had
that
to,
kind of
because
stuff.
He made a right twit of himself the previous day.
A twit or a twat?
A twit.
A twit.
I don't want to call Lewis Hamilton
a
twat.
No, I'm not calling him a twat.
He's a very fine athlete.
So anyway, what I was going to say is, so Julia says, you know, considering watching the Grand Prix all day, or I've got to get up and attack the mountain of laundry.
Yeah.
Brought back from a skiing trip for me and my daughter and all that kind of stuff, you know. And obviously she's talking about ironing and washing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I tweeted her back and said, leave it to your housekeeper.
Yes.
And then found out she hasn't got a housekeeper.
She hasn't got a housekeeper.
Now, I don't understand this.
Why?
Well,
not everybody's got a housekeeper.
Well, all right. Well, don't call it a housekeeper then. Call it a cleaning lady who comes in twice a week, something like that.
Well,
even you have a cleaning.
Well, I do,
person.
Although I'm having a bit of trouble trying to get hold of her at the moment, which
really?
Is a bit irritating because she was meant to come last week and her boiler blew up, right?
Yes.
And it was very, very cold. So she said, I'm really sorry, Mr. Mike, as she likes to call me.
Mr. Mike, which nationality would she be?
She's Romanian, I think.
Hey, by the way, have we ever told a story about our mate from a betting company who worked in London?
Yeah.
And again, he decided to get a housekeeper, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not a housekeeper, a cleaner, right?
Are you talking about the man who paid for the extras?
Exactly. It's a fantastic
story.
Well,
I didn't know him. It is a great story.
It's a fantastic story. He, I knew him quite well, and he was head of sort of one of the betting company's offices in London. And in fact, I think we can say the name of the betting company, can't we? They're friends
of
ours, aren't
they?
No, I don't need to.
But wish to
cast aspersions.
Well, we don't wish to colour anybody's ability to sponsor this show, because one of the reasons that we can bring this show to everybody for free is because we get sponsors.
That's right.
So I wouldn't want to favour any betting company over another.
In fact, funny enough, I was talking to James, who is a friend of ours.
James?
Supplies us a few bottles of beer.
Oh, yes.
That James. But anyway, look, what I was going to say is, on this particular occasion, he goes on the website and he eventually finds a cleaner.
Right.
And she turns up and she is an extremely beautiful Brazilian girl.
Yeah.
And he
Brazilian.
Says, sorry?
Brazilian.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
No, exactly.
She's,
Brazilian women are very really good looking.
They are.
I've been there. They're great. They've got olive skin.
Yes.
They're gorgeous.
They're
beautiful,
yeah.
Dark hair and all that. So anyway, so she comes the first week and they do the deal where she will do 2 hours' work for £30 and clean his flat.
That's quite a lot of money in those days.
Well,
she was probably quite happy with that.
Yeah, I suppose she was. Yeah, it might have been 3 hours at £10. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah.
Second week, he happens to be there when she arrives.
Yeah.
She arrives early.
Because he gives her a key, presumably, right? Because that's what
you normally
do.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, but
your housekeeper's got a key.
My housekeeper's got a whole set of keys. You're absolutely right, yeah. So anyway, she comes early, and he thinks to himself, I wonder why she's come early, you know, about half an hour early, really.
Right.
And she says, oh, hello, you know, She said, were you happy with my work last week? She said, yeah, it was very good indeed. She said, yes. She said, you know, and thank you very much for the £30. Right. He said, yeah. And she said, for another £30, you can have sex with me. And he said, what? For another £30, you can have sex with me. And he was about to go to work.
Right.
And he said, well, when? Are you going to come back? She said, no, now. This is why I've come early. So he had sex with her before he went to work. You know, that's, and paid another £30.
Right. I mean, presumably this went on for a few weeks, didn't
well,
it?
I think it did, yeah. I think it did. Yeah. I don't know how long the arrangement went on for, but I mean, that seems to be a
so
pretty good arrangement.
He's now paying £60 a week for his cleaning.
Well, yeah, but with, you know, with advantages or with extras.
Yeah, it's like with benefits. Isn't it?
Anyway, getting
cleaners
back,
with benefits.
Getting back to Julia. Who
well, all I want is somebody to come and clean the house, to be fair.
Well, sure, yeah.
And I'm having trouble getting her because last week she was too busy.
Yes.
And I'm hoping she's going to come this week.
Yes, yes.
Before I go away.
Yes, indeed. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So getting back to Julia, who, of course, is not involved in any of these nefarious
certainly not.
Stories, anything like that. He's the most respectable woman
I've
ever met.
Very respectable, yes.
And thoroughly decent persona. She's going on about, you know, the cleaning, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, that struck a chord with me because one of my journals revealed to me very recently that there are 60 million rows a year happen over domestic disputes between partners, husbands and wives, people living together, partners in life, over who does what in the house.
Yes.
And of that...
Well, because by far, it's very much the case still, despite these liberated times in which we live.
That's right.
Very much the case that in most partnerships, the woman does most of the washing.
Yeah, that's
does
right.
Does most of the dishes.
That's right.
Does probably all the cleaning.
No,
I mean, I don't know any men that do any cleaning, really.
Well, I think you should sign contribute if you can. In 1% of cases of this 60 million, it leads to murder.
What?
It leads to murder. That's how extraordinary Blimey. People get. But
I think you see that, you know, I mean, like, for example, I will do a very small amount of cleaning in my place in London.
Yeah.
Just because it's where I live.
Yeah,
and
right,
obviously,
yeah.
you know, I don't want it to be a midden.
No, or a pigsty.
Or a
pigsty. Like no.
But I don't really do any cleaning at all down in Sussex.
Well, of course you don't, because A, you're not there most of the time. Mm. B, you're the mother
but
of your children
do
lives
when
there,
there.
She's got to keep the place neat and tidy for the boys.
But what I do when I'm there is that I do an awful lot of the, you know...
Do you chop the wood?
Hey?
Chop the wood for the stove?
No,
the
I don't chop
stove.
The wood because we get that delivered.
Oh, I see.
You
okay,
know,
yeah.
so that's
well, why don't
fine.
You? That'd be a bit of good exercise. Get yourself an axe.
Well,
get yourself
I have
a couple
axe.
Of logs
well, I
and
have,
chop them up.
Well, I have done that in the past
yeah.
because when we used to get big pieces of wood
yes.
and they wouldn't fit into the grate,
yes.
so you'd have to chop them in order to make them small enough.
Right, okay.
And, but so it's quite a good technique there. I told you that because I remember I went to buy the axe.
Yes.
For some reason, I had to go and get some scissors as well.
The axe killer.
Right? And I went to Tesco's to go and get the scissors. And I was with one of my kids.
Yeah.
And they asked me for ID.
Oh, yeah, tell me, yeah.
yeah.
For the axe, yeah.
No, for the scissors.
Oh, for the scissors?
Yeah. But when I went to buy the axe from B&Q, they didn't ask me for any fucking ID.
No.
At all.
It's amazing,
so
isn't
it? So you can't buy scissors without ID, but you can buy an axe.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But you see, I'm a liberated man here.
Are you?
Because if I lived with a woman...
Yeah, but you don't know.
No, I don't.
You've never
know.
Lived with a woman.
Well, I have in short
I mean,
bursts.
I know you've had,
no, in short
you've
bursts,
had relationships
yeah.
before
yeah,
in which
yeah.
you've stayed with them.
Yes.
But you've not
right,
actually
yeah.
lived with
no,
one.
No, I haven't. No. That's absolutely true. And but if I did, I would be liberated man.
Would you?
Well, I would do things like... I wouldn't do hoovering.
No.
Oh, by the way, on hoovering,
yeah.
I've absolutely done my housekeeper a massive favour.
Have you bought a new hoover?
Not only have I bought a new hoover,
yeah.
I bought her a cordless hoover.
Cordless?
Now, the cordless hoovers, that gets rid of the old running over the cord.
Yeah,
and
up to a point. It's, but they're not as good as they're made out to be.
Oh, they're not bad.
Because we've got one of them.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
A cordless one.
A cordless
so you
one,
charge
yeah.
it on the wall.
You charge it on the wall.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not the suction.
So I'm going to get off.
So you'll have to put it into the wall. You'll have to, like, screw it into the wall.
Oh, well, I won't do that. I'll get somebody
well,
to do it.
Who's going
to
do that for you?
Oh, I'll get a person round.
You've got a wall screwer in her?
Well, quite shortly, somebody's coming round to replace all my smoke alarms. Because did you know that they actually expire of being any use at all
really?
After 10 years?
Is that right?
They have a 10-year lifestyle.
Do you know what drove me mad once? And it was in London. It's now happening in that when you come in the front door of my block...
Yeah.
There's something wrong. The smoke alarm, I think, needs a battery replaced.
Yeah, it does.
So
it starts
goes,
bleeping.
Beep.
Yeah, that's right.
Beep. Well, it's really annoying, right?
Yeah.
It started, because there's one on every floor.
Yeah.
And there's one outside my front door
that's not
on the
good.
Third floor. And about 3 or 4 years ago this was, it started doing that.
Unscrew beep. It. You have to unscrew it,
beep.
Or else you can't sleep.
Beep. It was
honestly.
Incredibly... you know, just ridiculously
irritating. Well, I'll tell you something. In one of the blocks I once lived in, somebody had gone away, the battery had gone, and it drove everybody so mad, they organised a posse to smash the door down and get in and take it off the scene. It was so annoying,
They didn't find him hanging in there or something.
No. But sometimes, by the way, that could be the fact that it's gone past its 10-year life and it's telling you this doesn't work anymore, yeah. right? That could be
right.
Anyway,
well, they advertise now, don't they, saying please check your smoke alarm.
That's right, yeah.
Because if it's not working, you could die.
Yeah, you could die,
which is true.
Well,
you know,
more
important than the smoke alarm nowadays is what they say is the carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide rather, alarm.
Yeah, but you only get that if you've got heaters in your house
and
all that kind of stuff.
Well, like we've got one because of the fireplace.
Well, you've got to be careful.
Well, you have to by law have one. Because obviously you could. You
so
could
have you got a carbon monoxide monitor?
Alarm.
Oh yeah. Good. That's good thinking.
Yeah.
So getting back to.
I don't break
to,
the law, you know.
So I would do the domestic. I'm very good at domestic things. You see, I have been in the past.
Yeah.
I don't do any now. Yeah. Obviously, I don't have to.
Well, like what though? Ironing. That kind of thing.
Ironing takes too long.
Yeah.
So I don't like doing.
I put all my shirts into the cleaner to get them
fresh. Yeah. Well, I don't blame you for doing.
It's a lot
that.
Easier.
Yeah. I don't. Blame you for
I don't
that.
Iron anything.
No, domestic things I would do is I would take the rubbish out. Do you remember when...
Well, I take the rubbish out. Remember... Of course you take the rubbish. Why wouldn't you take the rubbish, your own rubbish out?
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't expect my partner in life to take the rubbish out. I would take it out. You see
well,
what I mean?
That's a man's kind of job, traditionally, isn't it?
And also...
Doing the bins.
I accumulate an enormous amount of printed material.
Yeah.
You know, my journals,
well, I
magazines.
Used to. I mean, I used to have a pile of newspapers that was as high almost as me.
Well,
in the house.
That happened to me in Birmingham once when I lived there. And guess what? A mouse took root. So don't ever do that again because they love the warmth.
Because I don't buy papers anymore.
I
literally don't have a... Yeah. I never thought I'd ever say this, but I don't have a newspaper in the house.
No, exactly. Well, I do now. I still like the old, black and white print and all that. I take him out, no problem at all.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I would do that. I would do other things. But, you know... I couldn't get round to doing like washing and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, I do my own washing in London.
Yes.
I mean, and as I say, I wash the shirts, give them to the dry cleaners.
No, I meant like sheets off the bed and all that kind of towels and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You do all that?
Yeah. I don't mind that. That's fine. Well, that's easy work, really.
Is it easy work?
Well, who does it all that for you then?
But anyway, the point.
So you get the housekeeper to come around.
Yeah.
And do all the washing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So what do you do all day?
Well, I do everything all day. I arrange things. I you know, at the moment we're building 2 mics TV.
That's very true.
And it takes a lot of work. It's very exciting indeed.
We're going to have a launch party.
But this is very exciting as well because we saw some of our pals recently from Audio Boom, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We had a rather nice night.
Very nice night.
Where was it?
In a place called Candy Capital.
Exactly.
Which had a private bar. If I was a wealthy millionaire, sort of a hedge fund trader, like those guys, a property fund guys. I would have a building like that with its own bar in the basement.
It's amazing.
It's called the Trunk Bar, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in a very exclusive street, which we won't say, in Mayfair.
No.
And you go in there, and obviously it's a lovely building. I mean, it's amazing that some of those expensive buildings in London are what we used to call terraced houses.
Yes.
But they are, in fact,
they're made into offices.
But they are, in fact, now... what do you call them? They don't call them terraced anymore. They call them...
I don't know.
What do you call a house in the middle of a terrace? But it's not a terraced house anymore.
I don't know. Semi-detached?
No, it was a special name for them.
Well,
on about
townhouse.
Townhouse, thank you. Townhouse.
That's what they call them in America, isn't it?
That's right, townhouse. On about 6 floors.
Yeah.
And they had a second basement. The second basement was the bar downstairs.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous place.
Beautiful.
You spotted, in fact, that the table upon which we were resting our drinks, which looked very elaborate, bit of gold in and all that,
took
the elaborate gold cover off. It was a pool table.
It was a pool table, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's
nice
the way to live.
That's very nice. It very much is the way to live. I think we're out of time again.
Are we out of time?
We are. We'll have to have
time
more
flies
conversations. We're going to be doing an Ask Porky soon as well.
We certainly are. So,
of course, you want to follow us at the Two Mics.
Yes.
At Mike Parry 8, at IROMG.
Yeah.
And at On The Record as
That's right, at On The Record. Send us a few questions, please, because we're going to devote a whole show to Ask Porky, because my mission in life is to help liberate you from the stresses and strains of life. I could, in fact, as the Porkmeister, change your very life.
This is On The Record.
She comes early and he thinks to himself, I wonder why she's come early, you know, about half an hour early, really.
Right.
And she says, oh, hello, you know, yeah. She said, were you happy with my work last week? She said, yeah, it was very good indeed. She said, yes. She said, you know, and thank you very much for the £30.
Right.
He said, yeah. And she said, for another £30, you can have sex with me. And he said, what? For another £30, you can have sex with me. And he was about to go to work.
Right.
And he said, well, when? Are you going to come back? She said, no. Now, this is why I've come early. So he had sex with her before he went to work. And paid another £30.
Right. I mean, presumably this went on for a few weeks, didn't
it? Well, I think it did, yeah. I think it did. Yeah. I don't know how long the arrangement went on for, but I mean, that seems to be a pretty good arrangement.
So he's now paying £60 a week for his cleaning.
Well, yeah, but with, you know, with advantages or with extras.
Yeah.
The monk's probably a Dominican. That's probably where I got it wrong.
Could be a Benedictine.
Could have been a Benedictine. Could be, yeah, Benedictine. I like that. They make that liqueur, don't they? They make the Benedictine liqueur.
Benedictine, yes. My mother likes that, actually. In fact, she likes it in you can also buy it as B&B.
Oh, yeah?
Which is Benedictine and brandy.
Ooh.
In the same bottle.
Ooh.
You don't drink too much of that.
No, don't drink too much of that. Anyway, the point of my story is... Everybody who knows Benedict has seen recently said, no, his monk's always with him.
Really?
He says...
That must be a bit difficult to organise.
Well, one unnamed source says Benedict has always been very zen backstage, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now...
Well, that's just when he's not swearing at the audience.
Yes, that's right. You know, fuck the government, we're going to do it ourselves, you know. They all issue a statement saying
that we didn't
No, we never said that. We don't know the fuck Vince is talking about.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.